In this series of enforcement actions, we propose fines against 5 unauthorized radio operators in Florida. These operators were not just using the public airwaves unlawfully, they were increasing the risk for harmful interference of authorized users, and that's just not acceptable.
Jessica Rosenworcel's remarks after voting to have 5 Miami Pirates walk the plank. Also, the FCC wants to force broadcasters to report daily status during disasters. How will this affect LPFM and other small stations? More from today's open meeting coming up right now.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Thursday, January 25, 2024. Yesterday, we opened with a story about the FCC's 2023 efforts on combating pirate radio as part of their annual report to Congress. Today, we talk about some 2024 accomplishments. At today's FCC open meeting, the full commission has adopted 5 notices of apparent liability for illegal pirate radio operation, including one who will receive a mega dinger of over $2.3 million.
The first item proposes a forfeiture of $2,391,097 against Fabrice Polonese for pirate radio broadcasting in North Miami, Florida. This is the maximum allowable forfeiture under Section 511 of the Act and the Commission's rules. Polonese is one of the longest operating pirates in the Miami area, having received a $25,000 forfeiture order from the Enforcement Bureau in 2013 and a $144,000 forfeiture order that was jointly and severally with Harold and Bernice Saito from the commission in 2018. As part of the 2023 Miami Pirate Radio sweep, agents located Polonese's station, Radio Touche Deuce, operating 3 times in February and March of 2023. And based on both observations and station advertising, found the station operating without authorization on a total of 22 days. Given Polonese's history of pirate radio operation, multiple forfeitures, and repeated warnings by the commission, the Enforcement Bureau thanks the commission for adopting the NAL and its $2,391,097 proposed forfeiture.
That was Enforcement Bureau Deputy Chief Michael Rhodes. The FCC also handed out dingers of over $358,000 to Brindley Marshall, Wilford Solomon, and Cameron Brown for 3 days of violations, as well as to Abdias Datis for $120,000, also for 3 days of violations. Marshall, Solomon, and Brown received an increased forfeiture due to past multiple violations. The actions today were part of a congressionally mandated sweep of pirate radio operators. All of the proposed forfeitures today were from the Miami area. Recipients of the NALs have 30 days to fight them. FCC Today, the podcast, is also available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel. If you're watching there, please make sure to like this video and subscribe to the channel, as well as hit that notification dinger so you won't miss out on any future episodes. Our YouTube channel is at youtube.com/Michelle Bradley. Thank you for your support. The FCC has adopted the second report in order and second further notice of proposed rulemaking in PS dockets 21-346 and 15-80, as well as ET docket 04-35, to amend Part 4 of the FCC rules regarding disruptions to communications. The report in order will require cable, wireline, and interconnected voice over IP providers to report their infrastructure status to the FCC through the Disaster Information Reporting System, or DIRS, on a daily basis when the DIRS system is activated for an emergency. It will also require DIRS filers to provide a single final summary within 24 hours of the FCC's deactivation of DIRS. For network operators, the FCC will also suspend reporting obligations in the Network Outage Reporting System, or NORS, when providers are required to report in DIRS during a disaster, thus to prevent double filings. In the notice of proposed rulemaking, the FCC questions whether to require TV and radio broadcasters, satellite providers, and broadband internet access service providers to report to DIRS or NORS during an emergency. It also inquires on whether the first responder system, FirstNet, should be subject to DERS or NORS reporting, whether to require an after-action report after an emergency event, and whether network providers should be required to report the location of mobile recovery efforts during a disaster response. The issue of mandatory DERS filings by broadcast stations has struck a nerve where it comes to LPFM and other small broadcast stations. The FCC received multiple comments from entities such as the National Association of Broadcasters, the Colorado and Puerto Rico Broadcasters Association, as well as REC networks, that imposing such a requirement on small stations will hinder their ability to provide immediate community information due to the reporting requirement. REC further states that if small stations are subject to forfeitures for being out of compliance, this can drain stations and put them out of business. The FCC is also exploring other options, such as a requirement that during a DERS activation, that stations taken off the air be required to file a silent notification within 24 hours of going down instead of the customary 10 days, and whether to exempt low-power TV and low-power FM stations from this reporting requirement. REC encourages all stations to voluntarily participate in DERS in the event of an activation. Comment dates for this proceeding will be announced later once published in the Federal Register. In today's meeting, the FCC also adopted a report and order requiring wireless providers to implement location-based routing for wireless calls and real-time text to 911 in order to reduce the misrouting of calls. The FCC also adopted an order on reconsideration in response to the 2020 order on orbital debris mitigation. Prior to the meeting, the FCC adopted a report and order and further NPRM to adopt new rules and update pre-existing rules for the 70, 80, and 90 gigahertz bands, as well as seek comments on the potential inclusion of the fixed satellite service Earth stations in the light licensing regime for the 70 and 80 gigahertz band. Just as we got done with the January open meeting, the commission has released the tentative agenda and circulated the documents for the February open meeting. On tap for February is consideration of a notice of proposed rulemaking to require EAS participants to be equipped for multilingual alerting. We will discuss this next week on the podcast. Also, the FCC is considering an order in NPRM further strengthening the Commission's robocall and robotext rules, an NPRM to accommodate licensing of space stations involved in in-space servicing, assembly, and manufacturing, as well as an order to permit the use of recently developed and more efficient wireless microphone technology, as well as an Enforcement Bureau action. The February open meeting is scheduled for Thursday, February 15, 2024. In addition, we should be expecting more point system decisions from the 2021 NCE filing window in the upcoming weeks. FCC Today, the podcast, is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean and other popular podcast providers. Please subscribe to the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel to stay informed. For up-to-the-minute applications and actions at the Media Bureau, visit our official website, fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com. For assistance with LPFM, full-service FM, and FM translators, please contact REC at 202-621-2355. Until next time, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good day from Riverton. REC.